Hello, and welcome to the teaching of BTE, the Bible Translation and Exegesis Ministry serving the Central Coast of California. We feel strongly about handling the Word of God with accuracy, and that's why we approach the Scriptures from the starting point of the original languages. Our hope is to provide you with sound Bible study that will help you to grow in the wisdom and knowledge of our Lord. For a complete list of our resources or to just let us know how we are doing, go to bteministries.org.
Philippians chapter 3, verses 17, 18, and 19, and our focus this morning will be on verse 18. Remember, the theme of Philippians is fellowship, our participation together. In spite of the fact that you might hear someone encourage believers to work together to create unity, we already have unity in Christ. But there are certain human factors that interrupt and disturb that unity that we already have. And those factors are human, of the flesh. So Paul is saying that the key to experiencing the joy of the Lord in our fellowship together is to let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Philippians 2:5. The word there is found throughout the New Testament. We'll see it again in verse 19. The word frame of mind, phrone or phroneo, is the frame of mind. The person's attitude, their mental bent, the entire flow of thought. Now, you and I can tell what our mental bent is by the various situations that the Lord puts us in, because our response and our reaction is according to our mental bent, our perspective about that particular situation. And the Lord is very good at putting us in situations to exploit some things in our perspective of life and our attitudes and in our approach to life that is not of Him but is of ourselves. As we see our reaction to various situations. What was the Lord's attitude and what was His response to what the world had to offer Him? He took the low road. His attitude towards life is, I am here for a purpose, and I will not get distracted or taken off the road by what the world has to offer in order to accomplish that purpose. And so we have been taken out of the world, not physically, but spiritually. And we've been put on a path that is for the kingdom's sake, and we are on our way to go be with the Lord. But in the meantime, we fellowship together, we learn and grow in Christ, and we are used by Him still for His purposes. But again, His Spirit in us is not taken and distracted by what the world has to offer, but we are in the human. And so Paul, in chapter 3, verses 1 through 16, he talked about the precaution of Christian fellowship. He says, I'm warning you about those legalists who will come in and say, that's nice that you have received Jesus as your Savior and that you belong to Him, but now here are some laws and rules and regulations you have to keep in order to maintain that salvation and to be right with God. And Paul says, beware of these people. We are those who boast in the accomplishments of Jesus Christ, and we don't put any confidence in the flesh. It's not what we do. The Lord has done everything for us. It is an insult to Him for me to think that what He did for me on the cross was not enough. He fully completed and satisfied all of God's requirements for my sins on the cross. There's nothing more to add to that. I cannot get a better relationship with the Lord God Almighty more than what I have right now through what Jesus did for me. So he warns everyone and basically says, look, if the accomplishments in the flesh would mean anything, I, meaning Paul, would have the claim more than anyone, because religiously I accomplished the highest standard of anybody, even of my own race. But in order to follow Christ and receive what he has done for me and the completion of what he has done for me, I count all of that but garbage. That's the value I put on it. I count all things loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ. So as I go through life, two things are going to be offered to me, one from the world and one from Christ. The opportunities that are available to me from the world might be what distracts me and takes me away from Christ. I find turning down the opportunities of the world to stay with the excellency of the knowledge of Christ, I lose. I lose money, position, security, material quality, for the sake of Christ. So we have a tendency to respond to the world and take the opportunities of the world and say, thank you, Lord, without consulting him, of course. So he says that I, Paul, press towards the goal of the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. That's what I'm here for. I'm running the race and my life is disciplined like an athlete. Like an athlete watches what they eat and what they drink and where they go and how much sleep they get and how much exercise they get. So Paul says, I'm running this race of life. Disciplining my body, 1 Corinthians 9, he says, I keep it under so that it doesn't interfere with my conditioning program. Hebrews 5, the writer of Hebrews tells us that the spiritual maturity is a spiritual exercise, that God's Spirit ministering through his word exercises our inner human faculties until we grow to maturity. So if I miss practice, quote unquote, conditioning therapy, if I miss my conditioning program, my spiritual exercise grows dull and my physical appetites grow strong. But he says in verse 15, he says, let us therefore as be mature, be minded like this. Let your frame of mind be what I just told you. Pressing towards the mark of the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. Everybody who is mature, be thus minded. And if you're not this minded, God will reveal this to you. So as you read the letter of Paul, you'll either say, that's me or that's not me. But we always have a tendency to say, but that's Paul. You know, the Apostle Paul, he's got to do that. I don't have to do that. Nevertheless, where we have attained or arrived, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind, frame of mind, the same thing. Okay, so we're not at where Paul was at in this maturity. But he says, walk by the same rule and have the same frame of mind. Be on the track somewhere, even if you just started at the starting line. And Paul sees himself crossing the finish line, at least be on the same track with the same philosophy and the same perspective. But then in verse 17 for last week, we saw verse 17 as a transition verse. Verses 1 through 16 deal with the legalists who emphasize the performance of the flesh. Verses 18 to 21 deal with the libertines who say, we are no longer under the law. There are no rules and regulations for human performance in the flesh. Therefore, we can do whatever we want. I mean, don't approach me with your open Bible and say, hey, Christians aren't supposed to be doing this. The libertine says, I'm free in Christ. I can do as I please. So the instruction of Paul, first of all, regarding both groups and regarding our approach to life, he says in verse 17, brothers, become followers together of me. He says, gives the command to become. Why? Because we're not. We have to be told to become this. The word followers means imitators, mimes, mimics. Paul is saying, as you see the expression of Christ in my life, let that be the same expression in your life. Be imitators together of me, and be observing the ones who are walking in this way. As you have who? Us, not just Paul. Us, he, Timothy, Epaphroditus. All of the people who learned under Paul walked by the same rule and had the same like-mindedness as Paul. So he says, walk. Be observing those who are walking as you have us for a pattern. The word pattern is tupos, where we get a word type, as in typewriter, to make an exact image of something. So basically he says, the Lord's been here, and you can always make the excuse, well, I can't live like the Lord did because I'm not holy and perfect like he was, and so therefore I have an excuse. And Paul basically says, even though my ministry is unique, Paul says my relationship with Christ is the normal Christian life. Wow. You have us as a pattern. Last week I gave you four. I'm not saying that's all of them. Paul says, first of all, is an expression, which is what mimetai means. Second of all, representation of maturity. We saw that in verses 13 to 15. He represented the mature Christian understanding of life, pressing towards the mark of the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. Tribulation. At the end of Philippians chapter 1, verses 27 through 30, he told us this same conflict that you see to be in me. He says it's God's will that we believe, but also that we suffer for his sake like I'm doing. The same conflict that you see happening in my life also should be in yours. A pattern. You have to watch out for those who are claim to be Christians and say, I'm perfectly problem-free, perfectly healthy and happy and wealthy and wise, and I'm experiencing the fullness of the Christian life. What pattern might that be? Fourthly, in presentation, just as important, Galatians chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, Paul says, if anybody preaches any other gospel than that which he has preached, let him be accursed. That's pretty tough.